From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his second message entitled The Model Prayer, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Love and Seek True Wisdom. The text is Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Wisdom loves her lovers and seeks her seekers. He is already wise who seeks to be wise, and he has almost found wisdom who diligently seeks her. What is true of wisdom in general especially true of wisdom embodied in our Lord Jesus. Him we are to love and to seek, and in return we shall enjoy His love and find Himself. Our business is to seek Jesus early in life. Happy are the young whose morning is spent with Jesus. It is never too soon to seek the Lord Jesus. Early seekers make certain finders. We should seek Him early by diligence. Thriving tradesmen are early risers, and thriving saints seek Jesus eagerly. Those who find Jesus to their enrichment give their hearts to seeking Him. We must seek Him first, and thus earliest. Above all things, Jesus, Jesus first, and nothing else, even as a bad second. The blessing is that He will be found. He reveals Himself more and more clearly to our search. He gives Himself up more fully to our fellowship. Happy men who seek one who, when he is found, remains with them forever, a treasure growingly precious to their hearts and understandings. Lord Jesus, I have found thee. Be found of me to an unutterable degree of joyous satisfaction.
I'll serve Him with all.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for our copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples a marvelous pattern for prayer in what is known as the Lord's Prayer. Although the words are relatively few, this prayer provides the essential guidelines for all true prayer. Implicit in the wording of the prayer are certain assumptions with which we come before our Heavenly Father. Then, as we'll see today, there are definite attitudes we must manifest before God's throne, such as those of sons, of subjects, of servants, as well as of saints. Now to conclude this message, the model prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
I do confess and believe that much of prayer is asking. Can I say, before there's ever effective asking, there's something much deeper. And I fear that we feel on this level that prayer's not just rushing into the presence of God with a wish list and walking out licking your chops that you've got what you wanted. Prayer is much more than that. Prayer is wanting to meet with God, quite distinct from getting from Him. It is to meet with God. Can I say, if you meet with God, He'll satisfy the longing of your heart. When we were home, Joan spoke with one of our friends who has suffered for many, many, many years, unspeakable agony. And she counted up the number of pain pills that she had to take every year. It ran to many thousands. Came a day when she felt she couldn't go any further. Surgery had done all it could, but the pains were as bad as ever. And after all these years, she could go no further. She went into her husband's study and she knelt at the chair where she knew he had knelt hundreds of times and wept her cause before God. Her testimony was, as she knelt there, to tell the Lord she couldn't go on. She said, "The Lord met with me." Some days later, she found she was living without pain pills, and it hadn't even dawned on her. But before that, the thing had gripped her soul. Well, she said, "I didn't feel that God put a hand of healing or some strange charismatic feeling. I didn't feel that. But I knew that I had met with God." Men and women, let me tell you, that's the ambition we must have. Not just to get this and that from God, but to fellowship with God as children with their Father. To enjoy days of heaven upon the earth. Do you get those first three petitions? I believe that that little phrase, "on earth as it is in heaven," will govern the first three petitions entirely. What the Savior's telling us to pray is that while we're on this earth, with all its imperfection, with all its sin, with all its challenges, with all its needs, with all its failures, with all the pain and the suffering and the tears and the agony, yet with fellowship with God, we may know days of heaven upon the earth. What an ambition. Heaven and earth, living in the heavenlies, even while we're living on earth. We're positioned there, but oh, that we may actually enjoy it. You remember the story of the great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor? At about 37 years of age, already a renowned missionary. Successful, as many people would say, yet he found himself very deeply disturbed because, under pressure, he knew he was not the man he ought to be. He'd be bad-tempered, snappy, short, you name it. And then weep over it, but always this up and down and up and down. Until he learned what it was, yes, to battle the flesh, but to do so from the position of recognizing he's in Christ. He's in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. And by faith to be drawing day by day upon all the resources that are in Christ. What happened? He began to live heaven on earth. The ambition is to witness a mighty manifestation of God's power to further His kingdom, to defeat His enemies. The ambition is that we would be brought to a place where our character and our experience are true expressions of our position in Christ. Now, these are the things that we have as the deep ambitions of our heart when we pray. Can I point out the fifth thing that the pattern prayer teaches us? It's about the address that we employ in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, there are two things about that that must mark our approach to God. First, peculiar intimacy. Our Father. And second, deep humility, which art in heaven. Those two things are married. As Paul says in Romans 8, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You've probably heard it many times. The Abba is the word for Father that belongs to the child, not to a servant. We have often been told that it is the very close family name. It's what the child would say, the little one would lisp, Abba, Father. Well, that's true, but don't be misled by it. Because the Abba, certainly in that society in those days, would still have been held in great regard, respect, reverence, and fear. I heard a charismatic idiot. I say idiot because I don't want to use a stronger word. Certainly a charlatan. On the basis of that, speaking to the God of heaven as pop. I want to tell you, I wonder if anybody can talk to God in those terms and know God at all. There is intimacy. But remember what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:17, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the head, the summation of wisdom. Humility and intimacy go hand in hand. Never forget, when you address God, it is God you address. It is God. Who was closer to God than his own solely begotten Son? None. Did you ever notice how Jesus prayed? Holy Father. That's how he prayed. Holy Father! None of this flippant, wicked, worldly, so-called intimacy that is not intimacy at all, but an insult to the God of glory. Then the Savior shows us the answers we entreat when we pray. These petitions, as I pointed out last week, cover the widest range of desire and need. Broadly, we can say we lift up our spiritual needs, our zeal for the Lord's name, the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's will. Then our zeal for our own personal sanctification. We ask that we may walk in company with the Lord and be kept from anything that would lead us away from Him or grieve His Spirit. We want constantly to be delivered from all evil. What are we doing? We're lifting up our spiritual concerns. But we also lift up our temporal needs. We're asking for daily bread. And indeed for every physical need. Now those are the things we're asking for. for the things that concern God's kingdom, for the things that concern His purpose in the world, for the things that concern our personal sanctification and development and holiness, our walk with God, our experience of grace, for our physical, temporal needs. My, this is a prayer then that takes in all these many subjects. What is the Savior saying to us? He's saying, look, when you come to pray, there are answers from God for you in every one of these areas. True prayer will entreat answers in them all. And then, of course, finally, the Savior teaches us that about true prayer and the assurance we express in that prayer. I like the way this prayer ends. That tells me, you know, that this is the note on which to end prayer. There are times now, but they're not too many. There are times in the book of Psalms when the psalmist ends on a down note. And I think we can be grateful to God that He has left them there, because that shows us that even inspired men of God were only men for all that. And it reminds us that when we get up from our knees sometimes and we're just as down as when we started to pray, that we're not the first people to be that way. But listen, the very fewness of those occasions in the book of Psalms will remind you that should be the exception and not the rule. When the Savior starts praying here, He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." How does He finish? "For Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power, Thine is the glory forever. Amen." And I feel every time I pray that I should add a hallelujah. You see, here's the high note of assurance. The Savior has brought us through all the circumstances, all the needs, all the desires, all the deep pitfalls that we may face, all the enmity of the devil. He's let us face all these things in prayer. He said, "Now you've brought them to God. He's on the throne. He's able to answer prayer. Take your burden to the Lord and do what? Leave it there. Don't get up with it again. Don't pray about it and then get up as if God were not King of Glory. Don't pray about it and then get up as if you had to bear it all yourself. Remember, He's on the throne. This is the assurance." Here's why we pray. We pray in faith. As I'd be pointing out in our continuing study of John Knox's Treatise on Prayer on Wednesday evenings, we pray in faith, not in desperation. True prayer is not a cry of desperation. True prayer is a cry of faith. It sees the difficulties. It traverses the veil of tears. But it comes to the throne. It sees the glory of God. It says, "Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory." Here then is the pattern for all our praying. Here are the things that should be present in every true prayer. I trust indeed that they will be present in your praying. I trust that they'll be present in mine. I come back to the request of the disciples. "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus says, here's the answer. Here's the answer. All that God has to teach you, you'll find here. Here's how to pray. May God make us good students, good learners, good practitioners of what the Savior teaches us in this pattern for all our praying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.